Philadelphia Eagles are Super Bowl champions. Eagles fans everywhere, this is for you.
Now entering the game for Philly Press Box Radio, Bill Furman and Jim Chesko.
Oh, wow, what an introduction. Let's get this thing rolling. It's Wednesday, May 1st, 2019. Welcome to the fifth birthday or fifth anniversary of the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable, brought to you by the Irish Rover Station House in Langhorne, PA, and Allstate Insurance in Westchester, PA. I'm Bill Furman. I'll be your host along with my partner, Jim Chet Chesko. Chet, fifth birthday, fifth anniversary. Happy to us and great thanks to Dan Baker.
Yeah, that was pretty cool, huh? And, you know, Dan's been under the weather of late. He missed a couple of games over the weekend, and so I caught him last week before he was going in for some medical tests and whatever. He ended up in the weekend in the emergency room for Saturday and Sunday, so that was really nice of him to do, and we're going to have Dan on again real soon to talk all things Phillies baseball. But, yeah, you mentioned 5 years, Bill. We have been doing this for 5 years, so it's only appropriate that we do this.
Also. Happy anniversary.
Well, you're full of them tonight. You're all geared up. But I'll tell you what, Chet, it's been a lot of fun for 5 years. 234 show tonight, and it's been great.
Yeah, we are having a blast doing this. Hard to believe that we started this 5 years ago yesterday, April 30th of 2014. And here we are, still going strong, pretty much every week now. The first year or two, we would take an occasional week off, but I think we haven't taken a week off since last summer right now. So we're going strong, and we're going to keep going. We got some great guests tonight, lots to talk about. So let's get it going, Bill.
Let's do it. And as you say, a bunch to talk about this week. The NFL draft, the Sixers even, their round two series 1-1. The Phillies still seem to be struggling a little bit, but they're in first place on May 1st, Chet.
Yeah, well, they are in first. You know what? They're in first place. They're 16-13, which means they're on pace for 89 wins, but they're not firing on all cylinders yet. They're struggling to score runs in a lot of games. It is still early, and they are in first, so things could be worse. And, oh, we're definitely going to talk a lot about the Sixers later in the show, but why don't we do some Eagles talk first, Bill?
Absolutely, and we have three great guests tonight, Chet. We got our good friend, Hall of Famer Ray Dittinger to talk Eagles. Fred Hugo is going to talk Sixers. And our very first guest 5 years ago, the sports junkie, Kevin McClure, will be back joining us again tonight.
Yeah, Kevin's awesome. And I'm looking forward to seeing what he's been up to. We've had his son on, Matt, a few times. And, of course, Fred Hugo's always great. He's all Sixered up right now. So let's do it, Bill.
All right, let's get started. Welcome back our all-time leading guest, making his 12th visit out of 234 to the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable, the Hall of Famer Ray Dittinger. Ray, welcome.
Good to be with you guys. Congratulations.
Thank you, Ray.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, welcome back. We had you on our fourth anniversary show a year ago, Ray, and you did so well with that that we decided to bring you back for the big fifth anniversary show.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you. I heard some of your weekend shows with Glenn on WIP, and if I'm not mistaken, Ray, you gave the Eagles draft an early A-minus grade. So what did you like about this group of draft picks by Howie and company?
Well, I thought they really nailed it with the first two. And then, I mean, those are the big picks. Those are the ones that, to me, really define a draft. If, you know, whatever you get on the third day, I mean, it's almost kind of a bonus, but you gotta hit home runs with the first couple picks. And I thought they did. I thought that having the opportunity to get Andre Dillard, which was, a little bit of good fortune that he fell in the draft and got close enough that they were able to make the deal to move up and get him. But I thought that was really, really good on their part, that they saw the opportunity and they seized it. And, he was the number one. He was my number one offensive tackle in my rating system. I had him at the top of the class, and I never would have thought that the Eagles, who started the day at number 25, would be in a position to draft a player that good. But they did. They had to make a trade up to get him, but they did. And I thought that was a great move, and obviously helps them tremendously along the offensive line now and for a long time. I mean, he they certainly are already, I'm sure they've already got him penciled in as Jason Peters' successor whenever Jason Peters steps aside. And then with the with their second pick, they get Miles Sanders, who was a really good back out of Penn State, and I kind of thought that he would be a fit for them. The only question was, would he be there when they came to bat in the second round? And he was, and they got him. So I thought that was I thought those two picks right there, to me, that kind of made your draft. And then whatever happens beyond that, I think, is sort of a bonus.
Well, Ray, were you surprised that, well, they only had five picks, but four of them were used on the offensive side of the ball? Did that surprise you any, or you think they just went best player available as they preach? But I don't know if that's really the way it works.
Well, they do talk about that, and I think to pretty much, I think they're pretty true to that. I mean, they'll – you know, there is a point where you reach that not everybody, it's not all that clearly delineated. I mean, sometimes the grades are pretty close, and you have to make a decision one over another. And I'm sure with the third pick, they probably had, I'm sure they had some defensive players that had really good grades, because there were a lot of good ones on the board, especially in the secondary, and especially at the safety position, where I think the Eagles really could use some young blood. And so that was kind of the choice I think they really had to make there. The Dillard pick to me was an obvious one. They made the trade up. We knew who they were going to get. I thought the Sanders was an easy pick for them at that point. But the next one was probably had to really make a choice on. And Arcega Whiteside, at that point, I really kind of thought they were going to go defense there with that second round pick. And there were some really good safeties still on the board, including Nasir Adderley, the safety out of Delaware, who I think is a really nice player. And I saw him sitting there, and I thought, wow, that would be a nice pickup. And when they went offense again, I'll say this, I was surprised, because I really kind of thought they were going to go defense there, but I can't argue with it. Arcega Whiteside is, that's about the grade that I had for him. That's right about where I had him going. I think the Eagles could have gone either way there, and they chose to go get another receiver, go get another weapon for Carson Wentz. And it's pretty clear, if it wasn't clear before, it's pretty clear after this draft that everything about this football team right now is giving Carson Wentz every possible advantage coming into this season. They're reinforcing the offensive line. They got him a running back. They got him yet another good target in the red zone. This whole draft was really about giving Carson Wentz more equipment to take into the season. And if that's the strategy, I can't argue with it.
Ray, you talk about Miles Sanders. They also draft another Penn Stater, defensive end Sharif Miller. And I should note that I am a Penn State alum. So as a follow-up, the Birds also signed a couple of Penn Staters as undrafted free agents, including an offensive lineman named Ryan Bates, who a lot of people thought would be drafted. And Bill and I are pulling for Bates because a year and a half ago, he was the very first active athlete that we had as a guest on our show. Does Ryan Bates have a shot?
I think he does, and I agree with you that I had him going in the draft. I had him going on day three. I didn't think he'd be a super high pick, but I thought that he would. I was a little surprised, not more than a little surprised. I was very surprised that he didn't get drafted. But he's a very nice pickup for the Eagles. I like him. This guy's got some versatility. He can play tackle and guard. 6'4", 305, 306, and played right tackle and was a very good player. I mean, you look back over his career there, he's a three-year starter, and you look at the production of Saquon Barkley and Miles Sanders. I mean, they're good players, but they didn't get all those yards on their own. I mean, they had some pretty good players playing in front of them, and Bates was one of them. And I really thought that I really kind of thought he was going to get drafted, and when he did not, I immediately put him on my list of priority free agents, and I didn't know where he was going to go. But then I found out a few hours later that he had decided to come to the Eagles. And, I think it works both ways. I think it's a good pickup for the Eagles because I think they could still use more depth. Everybody can use depth on the offensive line, but I think the Eagles really could use some more because they've got some age there and some injury concerns. And I think it's a good fit for Bates because I think it gives him an opportunity to sort of stay close to home and go to a good team, that I think is looking to shore up the offensive line. I think he'll have an opportunity to help out doing that.
And by the way, guys, I'm friends with Ryan's father, whose name is, I kid you not, Norman Bates. I'm a psycho fan. Not the same guy, but Norman Bates. Regarding Miles Sanders and the other running backs they have, are the Eagles going to go running back by committee again this year, Ray?
Yeah, that's for sure. And that's fine. I mean, you look around the league, that's what most teams are doing now. Back at the end of the season, when you looked at the roster and you looked at the guys they had, you said, "Man, that's an area where they need to go out and get some players." And they did. I mean, the acquisition of Jordan Howard was a good one. They got him at a very reasonable price, and he's still a young player who had a couple of really good years in Chicago. And you know, now he comes here, and I think at least initially he's going to be your number one back. But Sanders is very good. I mean, I think that he's going to play a lot, and it really wouldn't shock me if by the end of the year that he's the number one guy. But that's going to be it. I mean, it's going to be those two guys and probably Corey Clement coming back from his injury. And then I don't know. I mean, we're still waiting to hear if Darren Sproles wants to continue playing. I kind of think he won't. I kind of think that we've probably seen the last of him in Philadelphia, which is too bad. I mean, terrific player and a great guy and had a great, great career. But I have a feeling that he won't be back. So I think that your 1, 2, 3 are going to be Sanders and Howard and probably Clement. And then, you know, some of the other guys, I mean, Josh Adams and some of those guys will have a chance to compete. But it's going to be running back by committee. But listen, most teams are doing that now, and the Eagles have had success with that approach before. I mean, they've had – I remember the backfield with Deuce Staley, Brian Westbrook, and Karell Buchholder. That won a lot of games for you. And if you have the right guys and the right system, it can work again.
Hey, Ray, just an overall draft question, because this really – it puzzles me, but it bothers me that 49 players, if these numbers are accurate, 49 players who came out early did not get drafted out of the 144 that came out. I know there's a process in place to direct these kids in the right direction. How does that happen? And Ryan Bates happening to be one of them. How does that happen with these guys getting all this advice and seemingly maybe making wrong decisions?
Yeah, well, it happens. It happens every year that guys who should stay in school don't. They get advice from people that say, no, you'll be drafted. Don't worry about that. And then you wind up in the situation that they're in right now, where now they're scuffling. Now they're hoping to get a free agent invitation, and some guys do, and some guys don't. It's it's really a problem, and that's one of the reasons why I was sorry to see the Alliance of American Football go out of business in less than 1 year, because I really do think there's a need for that kind of developmental league out there. I just there are a lot of good football players around that are just need a little experience and an opportunity. And I thought that the Alliance of American Football was a really good idea. I mean, all the other sports, everybody else has a farm system. You know, there's a farm system in hockey. There's a farm system. We know about that in baseball. There's even one in basketball now. But they don't have anything like that in football. And they've tried it a couple times. They tried it with the World League. And they've tried, you know, back in the day, back when I first started covering the Eagles in the 70s, there was a thing called the Seaboard Football League, where you had, you know, the Pottstown Firebirds and the Norfolk Neptunes and those kinds of teams. But it was a place where the guys who didn't quite make it in training camp, they kind of have a place where they could go play, develop their skills, and you know, some of them can wind up in a year or 2 years later coming into the National Football League and making an impact. So that's why I was kind of, when other people were laughing at the idea of the Alliance of American Football, I wasn't, because I said, you know, it's never going to make a ton of money and it's never going to get huge TV ratings, but it's necessary, because you have a lot of guys out there that are good football players that if they had another year or two to work and develop their skills might actually be able to make it in the NFL. But if they don't have that place to go play, they just wind up, their career ends prematurely.
And I'm old enough that I went to see a Pottstown Firebirds game back in the day, Ray. So I remember them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I remember them very well. I mean, I started covering the Eagles in 70. The irony of it was that the Eagles were a terrible team back then, and the Firebirds were really good. You know, the Eagles were a team. They struggled to win three games that year, and the Firebirds went undefeated almost. They lost one game, but they won the championship. And It used to get so frustrating for me covering the Eagles and watching how bad they were stumbling around and losing games one after another that, you know, I used to drive up to Pottstown pretty much every Friday night just to watch the Firebirds play to see a good football team in action. And, you know, some of those guys were pretty good. I mean, it's one of the receivers on that team was a guy named Jack Dalbin, who never played for the Eagles, but he wound up signing as a free agent with the Denver Broncos and played well for the Broncos. In fact, was on one of the Broncos Super Bowl teams. And they had another receiver named Ron Holiday, who wound up playing pretty well and played for a while with the San Diego Chargers. So, yeah, there were some good football players in that league, and it was a very entertaining brand of football. A lot of those guys, including the coach, Ron Waller, wound up – they were really kind of the backbone of the Philadelphia Bell when the World Football League was created. That's, you know, pretty much Ron Waller was hired as the coach and general manager, and he pretty much took all the Pottstown Firebirds lock, stock, and barrel and moved them in and called them the Philadelphia Bell. And they were a fun team. They were a fun team to watch, and they were a fun team to cover.
Hey, Ray, as follow-up in the draft, we talk about that fifth-rounder, Clayton Thorson, out of Northwestern. How do you see that playing out? Is Nate Sudfeld, Carson Wentz, Clayton Thorson, are these the three guys we're going to look at, or you think they're still going to bring a veteran in to bulk that up?
No, I think that's it. I think it's those guys, and that's fine. I really did think that going into the third day of the draft that one of the picks they were going to come back with was going to be a quarterback. In fact, I was kind of thinking this was just me off the top of my head, but I was kind of thinking that there might be Easton Stick, who's the quarterback at North Dakota State, who was buddies with Carson Wentz and actually was Wentz's backup when he was in college, and then took over the job when Wentz came on to the Eagles. And I kind of thought it seemed like a very natural fit for them to bring him in here and, you know, be Wentz's backup again. Not just because they're buddies, but, you know, they could go hunting on their day off together. But but the fact is, if you really went back and you watch Stick play, he's a pretty good player. I mean, he doesn't have the size or the overall athletic skill set that Wentz does, but he's pretty good. I mean, he broke pretty much all of Carson's records in college and won three national championships and had some ridiculous, like, you know, 48-3 one loss record or something. I mean, he's a pretty good player. And I kind of thought that he might be a day three pickup for the Eagles. And as it turns out, the team going one pick ahead of them, the Chargers took him. And then that's when the Eagles, they jumped right back and took the next quarterback on their board, who was Thorson, I thought that was good. I really like him. I saw a lot of him playing in the Big Ten with Northwestern. And he had a really good career there. I mean, we all know what Northwestern football has been over the years. I mean, it's certainly not a powerhouse. And, you know, they get pushed around in the Big Ten quite a bit. But, I mean, when he was their quarterback, they went to three straight bowl games. And he won a lot of games. In fact, he won more games at Northwestern than any quarterback in the school's history. So he's got some credentials and got some size and some abilities. Had a few injuries. He had an ACL injury and then he had a shoulder surgery. But didn't seem to affect him this past year. I actually thought it was a good pick. It would have been fun to see Easton Stick be the guy, because I think it would have made for a very harmonious quarterback room next year with the two North Dakota guys and Nate Sudfeld there. But I think Thorson will fit right in. Now, we all know what the Eagles' plans for Carson Wentz are. I mean, he's going to be their quarterback long term. I mean, none of these guys are going to come in and beat him out. But I do think there's in Thorson, I think they have a young guy that's got some ability and they can develop him. And they certainly now they have the time to do that. They don't have to rush him.
Well, regarding Carson Wentz, did the Eagles do the right thing, Ray, in extending him a fifth year now rather than, you know, give him the big contract? Because if he has a good year and stays healthy, they're going to have to pay him a ton of money next year.
Yeah, but there's nothing to say they can't still do that. I mean, they were on a deadline where they just had to give them pick up the fifth year option, which they did. But that leaves open the possibility they can still negotiate the contract. And worse comes to worse, at the end of the fifth year, you can make him a franchise player. Which I mean, nobody wants to do that, and I hardly think it's going to come to that. This was more. I mean, everybody knew this was coming. This was more just almost a bookkeeping issue than anything else. And I don't think there's any. I certainly don't have any questions about the Eagles' commitment to Carson Wentz. I mean, they drafted him with the idea that he was going to be their franchise guy for a long time. And when he's had the opportunity to play, I think he's demonstrated that he's got that kind of ability. It's just a question of his durability, I suppose. But he's when we had an opportunity to talk to him a couple weeks ago, I mean, he's on the road back. I mean, he's still got some work to do, but it's not that surprising. I mean, when you consider the severity of the injuries that he's had. But I think you can certainly tell that he's really committed to this, and he's had 2 years in a row now where he didn't get to finish the season. And he saw his team in the postseason once in a Super Bowl where he was standing on the sidelines and didn't get a chance to be part of that. And, I mean, he's such a fierce competitor that you know that he's determined that he's going to be – he came here to win a championship, and I think he's more determined than ever to do that.
Amen. Let's do it. Hey, Ray, let's talk defense for a minute. As we said, not a lot in the draft. They've bulked up the defensive front a little bit. Still weak at linebacker. Still have some holes in the defensive backfield. Where are we going to go from here with that?
I think the secondary is going to be okay. I wish they would have. I kind of expected that they might draft a young safety, because there were some available. But if you look at the cornerback position, they've got, I mean, actually have an overabundance of cornerbacks. For this time a year ago, when we were talking about the team and sizing up the team, I think we probably talked about all the question marks at the cornerback position and the need that they had a cornerback. And not so true now. I mean, they found themselves a couple players last year, kind of almost out of necessity. But, you know, Cravon LeBlanc came in, and I mean, nobody knew who he was, but when he came in, he actually played pretty well. You know, Avante Maddox came in as a fourth-round draft pick. Most people didn't know very much about him, but when he had an opportunity to play, he played well, actually at two spots, at corner and at safety. So, and you got Sidney Jones, who's a guy that they drafted a couple years ago with very high hopes for, and so far the results haven't been there, but they're still hopeful that he's going to develop into that player. And then you've got, you know, Ronald Darby is back again, and Jalen Mills will be back from his injury. And you got Malcolm Jenkins, who's, okay, he's 32, but he doesn't show any signs of aging. So the secondary looks to me like it's okay. I would have liked to have had a young safety that you could develop behind Malcolm Jenkins, but I think the safety position, they can kind of line up and play right now. Defensive line, the addition of Jackson, Malik Jackson is a good player. I think that, you know, he'll certainly come in and help them. Cox is obviously an all-pro. You know, Graham and Barnett, you know, Barnett has to come back from his injury, but they think that he will. There's some question now about Chris Long, about whether he's going to come back or not. He's indicated that he may not. That would be a loss. But I think they're okay there. The question that you ask about linebacker, yeah, I mean, that's a real one. I mean, right now at linebacker, you are pretty thin. I mean, the only guy you've got that, you know, you've got some experience and you know he can really play is Nigel Bradham. And then you've got a bunch of just other guys, Nathan Jerry, Kamuk, Rougeau Hill, you know, that group of guys. But, you know, the way Jim Schwartz plays his defense, you know, he very often only has two linebackers on the field. I mean, and everybody in the NFL today, your nickel defense is almost your base defense. I mean, the days of the old 4-3 with the old days of Jack Lambert, Jack Ham, and Andy Russell playing every down. That's long ago. You know, if teams are playing with two linebackers, sometimes just one linebacker. And that's probably that's the way I think the Eagles are. A lot of teams are going. I think that's the way the Eagles are going to go. But even as it stands right now, I think they could probably use another guy, because Bradham's a good player, and he's played well for them in a variety of different roles. But I think they could definitely use another linebacker. One of the free agents they signed, I think, has a chance to make this team and actually contribute this year, and that's the kid T.J. Edwards from Wisconsin.
T.J. Edwards, yeah.
Yeah, not a bad player. I mean, he's another guy that I thought would get drafted almost like Bates. I kind of thought that when I was looking at the board after the draft was all over, there were a couple guys still up there that I thought, I'm a little surprised that they didn't get drafted. Bates was one and Edwards was another. He's a kid from Wisconsin who's pretty good player, and an inside linebacker and just a real active, always around the ball, good wrap-up, solid tackler kind of guy. You know, doesn't have super speed and doesn't have the great measurables, but a little bit of an overachiever type that I think the coaches will really like. And, you know, even I don't know that he's going to push his way into the starting lineup. That's probably a stretch, but I could see him being on the roster and a guy that makes an immediate contribution on special teams.
Hey, Ray, last thing for me. In the past, you told us about your unexpected one-on-one interview with Muhammad Ali. You told us about your not great decision to reject Christie Brinkley's lunch date offer. I want to finish up with another episode of Ray, Tell Us a Story. And this time, since it's baseball season, Ray, tell us why Lenny Dykstra still owes you a few thousand bucks.
Oh, actually $7,000. But who's counting? When Lenny was during his brief time as a magazine publisher, when Lenny was still back in his entrepreneur days, he started a magazine called The Player, and it was meant to be a magazine geared towards professional athletes and former professional athletes, talking about the athlete lifestyle and, you know, ways to take care of your, this is ironic now, ways to take care of your money, ways to handle your investments, you know, things you can do after you're done playing ball. All the things that Lenny was unable to do, he published a magazine telling other people how to do. I guess they published maybe half a dozen issues or so. The editor contacted me and asked if I'd be willing to write a couple stories for him. And then he gave me the price. And I said, geez, that's pretty good. So I did. I wrote two stories. I wrote one about Terry Hogue, who was the former safety that played for the Eagles. After his football, he had gone out to California. He had gone out to the Napa Valley, and he had started a vineyard. He bought some land, started a vineyard, and he started a winery. He had no background in it. He just loved the countryside, loved the industry, got into it, and became very successful. So that was kind of an interesting story about how a guy created a career kind of out of nothing. And I knew Terry. I knew Terry well during his time in Philadelphia, so I did this profile of him. And I also did a second story about Clinton Portis, who was then playing for the Redskins, and sent them in. And they said, these are great, fine. The magazine came out. They mailed me a copy of the magazine. I still have it on my bookshelf. The only thing that didn't come was the check. The magazine that proved to be the last edition of The Player. So I've saved the magazine as a true collector's item. But I'm not expecting to get a $7,000 check from Lenny Dykstra any day soon.
You don't check your mailbox every day.
Well, I do, but without any great sense of expectation.
Got it.
Well, hey Ray, before we let you go, Father's Day is coming up. Your book, you've updated the Eagles Encyclopedia Champions Edition. Give it a plug. Tell us where we can get it, where the listeners can get it. Great Father's Day gift.
It really is. That's thank you, Bill. I appreciate that. It is a terrific Father's Day gift. It did really well. This is actually the third edition of Eagles Encyclopedia. The first one came out right after the Super Bowl in Jacksonville. Then we did an updated version of it after the first year of Chip Kelly. And then I kind of said to the editors, I said, you know, I think we're probably okay unless they win a Super Bowl. If they win the Super Bowl, I think we probably need to go back and revise the book and put the happy ending in there. And so, lo and behold, they did. So we turned out a third edition of the Eagles Encyclopedia, and that is called Eagles Encyclopedia Champions Edition. And it is it's in bookstores still, it might be a little hard to find. Some bookstores have it, some bookstores don't. But you can go online to Amazon, which is where everybody does their book shopping anyway. You go
yep.
online to Amazon, and you just enter either my name or Eagles Encyclopedia Champions Edition, and you'll be able to order it and get it shipped out in 24 hours. And it really does make a great Father's Day gift.
Awesome. All right, Ray. Well, as always, we appreciate you taking the time to join us, especially on our birthday again this year.
Always a pleasure. Always enjoy talking to you guys.
All right.
Thank you, Ray.
We hope to see you out at the Vermeil outing again here in a few weeks.
Oh, I'll be there. I mean, I'll certainly be there out at Downingtown. I enjoy that event every year because it's great to see Dick. I mean, he's such a wonderful guy. But it's great because it's an opportunity to see a bunch of guys that, you know, that I hardly ever get to see except for that. I mean, the guys that come in from all over the country, like Jerry Sizemore and Bill Bradley and – you know, Wilbert Montgomery and all these guys that you know, I don't ever get to see except at that golf tournament. It's really fun to go out there and just spend the day reminiscing. That's very enjoyable.
All right.
See you there.
Look forward to seeing you. Thanks for joining us, Ray.
My pleasure. Take care, fellas. Bye-bye.
All righty.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right, as we celebrate our fifth anniversary, we want to give a big shout-out to the gang at the Irish Rover Station House in Langhorne. They've been supporting us for a little over 2 years now, and we can't thank them enough for that. This weekend, Derby Day Saturday, the Irish Rover has Blue Moon Draft and Derby Cocktail Specials, the Great Band Big Whiskey Saturday night, and then Corona Specials on Sunday, Cinco de Mayo. And don't forget that the Irish Rover has their always terrific Mother's Day brunch coming up soon, Sunday, May 12th, to be specific. Awesome menu for that with seatings at 10, 11, 12, noon, and 1. Reservations are required. Call 267-560-5240. Again, 267-560-5240. Check their website, irishroverstationhouse.com.
Hi, this is Chris Gaskell from the Irish Rover, and I just want to say congratulations to these great guys here at Pressbox Radio for 5 years. It's been great working with you. Here's the five more.
5 years.
Hey, awesome. Thank you, Chris, for joining us. That's awesome, too. Hey, Chet, you know when we started this show 5 years ago, I told you I had the best first guest. My neighbor at the time, Kevin McClure, was that guy. And if there's a sporting event going on, he knows about it. He travels the games. He goes all over the place. Kevin turned out to be a great first guest, has been back with us several times since, and we're going to have him again tonight.
Yeah, I believe this is visit number 4 for Kevin.
Well, Kevin, welcome back, and happy birthday to you. 5 years, hard to believe since you were with us the very first time.
Yeah, it is hard to believe. Congratulations for being on that long. There's a lot of shows that don't make it to the five-year mark for a myriad of reasons. So, you know, congratulations. And, it just keeps getting better and better over time. The guests you have are second to none.
Hey, Kevin, it was great seeing you and your son Matt at the Irish Rover a couple of months back. That was cool that you guys made the drive to hang out with us. Seems like your boys are both getting pretty serious about the broadcasting thing.
Yes, they both are. They're both broadcast journalism majors. They would love to do sports. I'm hoping that they – you know, I never wanted to disappoint them. You know, you follow your dreams and see where it takes you. And they're both doing that. And this summer they're both going to be play-by-play broadcasters for some college summer league baseball. One is going to be about an hour away from Bill, and the other one's going to be right outside of Cincinnati. So, you know, I'm pumped for them and pumped to be able to, you know, listen to them broadcast games throughout the summer. I think that's going to be really cool.
That is going to be good. And now, Kevin, you, Matthew goes to Penn State. Mark goes to Maryland. Now, they had an opportunity to actually work together doing a game. Tell us how that all happened and tell us what it was about.
Now, what happened was Mark was doing women's soccer at Maryland. He had pretty much, I think he had done 2 or 3 games at the time. And he offered to go do that Penn State game, the away game. You know, the schools don't, you know, fund that stuff. So for the radio station, Mark just said he would go do it. They gave him the equipment. I went up and got him. And we, I drove him, to Penn State from the University of Maryland. And they let him, he didn't have a partner from Maryland, so they let him use his brother who was at Penn State. That was the first time I think Matthew was on the air for anything. So it was really cool for that. The only bad thing about that is, you know what traffic's like around Washington, D.C., and trying to get from there to Penn State. I got there about 5 minutes before the game started. We were supposed to get there like an hour and 40 minutes before the game started. And they had to rush through it, and as Mark went on the air, it was kind of funny. He said, we just had some technical difficulties. We're 5 minutes in, and they did the broadcast, and, once they settled down a little bit, I thought they did really great. They worked well together.
I'm sure. Hey, Kevin, you're watching all kinds of sports all the time. Still, what's your take on the Phillies? I know they're in first place, but they're not exactly setting the world on fire. Do they have enough pitching to be legitimate contenders this year?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not sure that they do, but I think if you look around the division, Chad, I don't know if anybody really – I think some of the teams have pitching, but every one of these teams that the Phillies are competing against have pretty big holes to fill. You know, I've been down to see the Nationals. Mark's seen them a bunch of times. And, you know, their bullpen, except for two guys, can't really get anybody out. You know, the Mets have hit pretty well. But if you look at, you know, guys like DeGrom and Syndergaard has been okay. But the other guys have been pretty much mediocre. So while we expect that Scherzer, I think, has only won one start all year for the Nationals. So, you know, the pitching – nobody seems to be getting it through a month. I thought the Phillies would hit a lot more than – I did not think we would see this kind of slump that we've seen for the last couple of weeks. So I am concerned about that a little bit. But I really think that they're going to – this is going to be a four-team race all year long. And I don't know if I would go out and – I don't really think guys like Dallas Keuchel and Kimbrell are going to be the difference between making the playoffs or not making it or winning a World Series. I just don't know if they're over the hump type players. For what they want, I think I would just wait and wait till you're ready to really be a competitor for the championship before I would go spend that kind of money instead of handcuffing themselves now. Because I don't really think the Phillies are win now right now.
So, Kevin, if you were a betting man, would you have bet that Bryce Harper would get booed by the Philly faithful prior to May 1st?
That kind of surprises me a little bit, but, you know, I actually have been very impressed with Harper. I don't think he's said really one wrong thing since he's been here.
No.
You know, so I think – I'm not too worried about him. He's had the spotlight on him his whole career, ever since he was like 15 years old or maybe even younger than that. So I don't think that's going to intimidate him. He hasn't really been that 330 hitter. And, you know, he does go through streaks. I think he's going to deliver the home runs and RBIs for the Phillies. But there's going to be moments like this. And plus, he didn't really do anything for a few months there. How late was he to camp? By the end of February, they were already, you know, a few weeks in. So, you know, if you look at, you know, some of the guys, the Phillies, like at Arrieta last year, I think he's been way better, you know, so far this year. And, you know, he didn't have the spring training or all of it. And he really wasn't that great, you know, all year. So, you know, maybe there's something to these guys, you know, not being in camp and having to worry about that and not, you know, a part of the team until, you know, very late. So it could be a little bit of an adjustment period. The good thing is he's seeing pretty much the same pitchers in the same division and the, you know, so that should be something he's used to. But I'm not really too worried. I think we're going to get what we expect from Harper when the year is over.
So, Kevin, when
I don't think that's much above like a 250 average.
Yeah, he'll be all right. I'm not worried. Kevin, when you first joined us 5 years ago, we billed you as the sports junkie because you saw so many sporting events. What are you most looking forward to now on the sports scene over the next year or so?
Boy, next year or so. I'd probably say, my favorite events are – it's really become the – I really look forward every year to the college football playoff. I think, you know, if Penn State would ever make something like that, and they were very close a couple of years ago, you know, I'd almost feel like I'd have to try and get to be a part of that somehow. that event and what leads up to it and all the discussion, you know, the fighting between the fan bases and that, because it's all subjective, and it definitely is something that, you know, I look forward to every year. New on the calendar, but I think it's going to just get bigger and bigger.
Well, Kevin, we've already run out of time. We appreciate you taking the time to join us, and especially on our fifth birthday, ours and yours together. Thanks for coming by.
Yep, thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it, and let's go for another 5 years.
Let's do it again. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Kevin.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Hey, Chet, did you know that 56% of Americans have no idea how much they'll need to retire? If that sounds like you, you need to talk to Dave Lavoie from Allstate in Westchester, PA.
You know it, Bill. The same person you count on to help protect you can also help you set a reasonable retirement goal, then show you the right financial solutions to help you get there. A good plan and a good life starts with someone you trust. Call Allstate agent Dave Lavoie in Westchester, PA, 610-430-0700, and start planning for your retirement today. That's right, Dave Lavoie at Allstate, 610-430-0700. And, Bill, here's that Tom Petty that you were asking for last week. Here we go.
Very good. Hey, if I ask for Stevie Nicks this week, can I get that next week?
Absolutely. By the way, check out the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction. She opened the show with a half-hour set. Very good.
Half hour. Wow. I will have to check that out because otherwise I ain't watching it. Okay. Chet, as we said in the opening, Sixers bounced back to even the series, or round two series, with Toronto 1-1. What do you think?
Kind of like what happened with the Nets series, a horrible game one, but then they certainly turned things around for game two. And I like what they did in game two, playing much better defense. And Brett Brown made some adjustments, which made our next guest very happy, I know.
Well, that's right. We want to welcome back our resident Sixers fan, Fred Hugo, to get his take on how this series is going to play out. Fred, welcome back. You happy? You sad? Where do you stand after two games?
First of all, congrats, guys. 5 years. That's freaking awesome. Good stuff.
Thank you, Fred.
Thank you, sir.
And you're as far as the Sixers go, against Brooklyn, you kind of expected them to probably bounce back in some way or another. But the way they bounced back, I was really impressed with the adjustments. But after that first game against the Raptors and Brett Brown putting out Korkmaz, Boban, and Ennis in one substitution in the first quarter, I was like, what is going on? Like, I was really down on him, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me to even consider that an option. And I still feel that way. I'm still on the fence with Brett Brown. But for him to come back game two and make the adjustments he did, go back to Greg Monroe, activate Amir Johnson, knowing the potential for injury that he would need another center that's not Boban to come in the game, which he did have 3 minutes in that fourth quarter. And if you heard Greg Anthony talking about it, the whole goal was to just stay even. Like, he walked out of there with a plus minus or of zero or negative two. Defensively, they put Embiid on Siakam, and then they had Ben guard Kawhi, and it really worked out. I was very happy, you know. So,
well, I wanted to ask you guys both. This was my very first question I had for you. Brett Brown is a lightning rod. I can't remember anybody that is on like a game to game basis as this guy. He's an idiot. He's a genius. He's an idiot. He's an idiot. He's a genius. He's a genius. He's a genius. What is it with this guy that has this fan base just all cranked up?
Take it, Fred.
Go. Fred, go.
Well, I wouldn't call him a genius. He's more an idiot than not. You know what I mean? It's not like a genius. Like, because the idiot moves are, like, by far, like, ridiculous, where the smart moves are more like, oh, okay, you do have it up there to make a move like that. So I think, listen, me included, wants him to succeed, like, literally would like him to succeed. I mean, he went through all that tanking, and he's still here, and they got 50 wins back-to-back years. I mean, they're having a good regular seasons now that he has a team. So we want him to succeed. So when you see him, you know, finally do things that you're like, okay, why were you such a bonehead in those situations? You just get excited and you want him to do well.
Hey, Fred, Ben Simmons has not been his usual productive self offensively. He was held to, you know, single digits the other night in points, assists, and rebounds, but he did play pretty good defense. I know that Kawhi scored 35 points. Not all of them were when Ben was guarding him. I think when Simmons was guarding him, he didn't make any of his threes, and I think he did a pretty good job. And, you know, Leonard's going to get his. Are you okay with Simmons not scoring a whole lot if he's playing good defense?
I mean, he's young. He has to develop. You know, I mean, this is his second year in the playoffs, and I understand he had a dud game offensively. I'm okay with him doing both, you know. He did well on Kawhi, but that doesn't mean he can't score. But he's a little timid. I think there's definitely a confidence issue as far as, like, am I ready to go into there? And he seems to want to pass a lot. But, you know, I think it's just a matter of time before he gets some time in the league and develops. I mean, if you think about it, he came out at, what, 19? I mean, we just got to be patient with him. And he's doing pretty well for being his second year, I would say.
Yep.
Well, Fred, I'm going to throw this one to you. I'm getting a bit worn out on the Joel drama queen Embiid. Am I playing tonight up to game time decisions? What's up with that?
Personally, I don't think they should. I don't know, understand. They got to put him on the report as probable or questionable or whatever if that's not really the case. Apparently, he was on an IV. You know, he really was sick. If you watch the game, he did look out of it. You know, his movements were off, especially the first three, the whole game, really. You know, so maybe he was sick. But I just don't understand. Even when Ben was out with gastritis in the middle of the season, there's always, even if it's not Embiid, it's always someone or something weird. And I just don't understand why they got to make it a big, big story. You know, you could call it Embiid and the drama with it. I don't know if he necessarily did that for game two of the divisional finals or whatever you call it.
Well,
semifinals.
You know what? If you guys have ever had stomach distress where you feel like you got to run to the bathroom to do you know what, that's pretty tough to play basketball that way. So I kind of sympathize with Joel the other night because he was definitely in some pain. And I can't imagine trying to play a game of basketball against, you know, professional players with that kind of condition. So I'm going to cut Joel some slack on that one.
Playoffs. It's the playoffs.
Come on, man.
Do you have a soundbite of that, Jim Mara? It's the playoffs.
I do not.
Playoffs?
Fred, I want to ask you, what is your prediction? What was your prediction going into this series, and have you changed at all having seen the first two games? I said Raptors in six or seven. Hope I'm wrong, but I'm going to stick with that prediction because I just think they're a real good team, and it's a tough matchup for the Sixers, and I don't think they're going to sweep two in Philly. I think it's going to be 2-2 after four games. So what is your prediction?
I originally said if you put a gun to my head, I'm taking the Raptors in six or seven, but I still thought the Sixers could win in six or seven. I'm going to say it's tough. I don't know. I'm going to be a homer here. I'm going to say the Sixers in seven.
Ooh, I would love that.
I went with the homer deal last week as well, Fred. So, we're going to hang in there, and hopefully this thing stays straight. They can maybe they can win a couple on their home court, and that would sure help.
I would love it.
Well, if they get two home, I'm going to be really excited because I got tickets to Game Six. So if I can get a closeout game, that would be my first ever a closeout game in a playoff series. It'd be awesome.
I'm pulling for you, Fred.
All right, Fred. Well, hey, thanks for joining us. We appreciate you. We'll get you back and talk Sixers. Hopefully, we'll be talking round three.
Sounds good. Congrats again. Have a good one.
All right, Fred. Thanks.
Fred, just one thing. Fred, seriously, I want to thank you for all your help that you've provided us over the past year with the fantasy football stuff and with the technical stuff, the equipment at our two live remotes. We're going to have another one of those this summer. So thank you for all of that, Fred. Oh, Fred's
absolutely
gone.
I second
Fred's
that gone. As well. I'm sure he's still listening. He just can't get back on. All right. Hey, Chet, let's give a shout-out to the PPCC 118 Raz Room. They post great sports memorabilia on their Facebook page so people can take a chance of winning something they may not be able to afford or have access to. All items come with certificates of authenticity. They continue to run out great autograph memorabilia from all the Phillies teams and more. There are only 21 lines available, so your chances of winning are 1 in 21. Pretty good odds. Check out their Facebook page. Like it or follow it. It's PPCC 118 Raz Room. That's right. It's PPCC 118 Raz Room on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chesko, tell us who is coming to Philly Press Box Radio next week.
You know what? Before I do that, Bill, let's talk about something new that we have. Can we do that first?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Hot off the presses, Bill. Literally hot off the presses. You just picked them up. We have some real nice Philly Press Box Radio T-shirts. Not polo shirts this time, but T-shirts for sale. They are available in sizes medium through 2XL, I believe. And it's our red logo on the front and our sponsors' logos on the back. They're available in red, yeah, red on red, but it works, trust me, as well as a gray shirt with the red logo and a black shirt with the red logo. And get this, you can choose from regular material or dry fit. Price is $15 for the regular or $17 for dry fit. If you need them shipped, add $7 for one shirt, add $10 if you're ordering two. The ad for the shirts will be up on Facebook and Twitter first thing in the morning, if not sooner. But, yeah, really, check these out. They're pretty cool. Philly Press Box Radio T-shirts. You'll see them. You'll want one.
Absolutely. They're really cool, Chet. And as you said, I picked them up. We have them down here. I have actually worn a couple of them. And people who don't even know that it's a Philly thing are like, that's a really cool shirt. It's a cool logo. It shows good. And I think the people will like them. It's good. And of course, our sponsors are on the back. We appreciate them too, and it gives a chance to show for us to show them off a little bit as well.
And my buddy Denny just texted me: blue collar workers love T-shirts. So all you blue collar listeners out there, get one of these T-shirts.
There you go. I like what you're thinking, Denny. All right, we think you'll like them, and certainly let either Chet or I know. You can either do it through messaging or on our Facebook or however, if you know us, text us, however you want to do it, and we'll get them right out to you. They're sitting right here next to me in the Philly Press Box Florida office.
Mm-hmm. So,
all right, Chet, let's talk about next week. Who we got?
Well, you heard that opening. Let's play that again because that was so cool.
Dan Baker.
Yeah, I want to hear it again because I've only heard it like twice, and I kind of like it. Here we go.
Now entering the game for Philly Press Box Radio, Bill Furman and Jim Chesko.
Now notice, he mentions you first, but I got the bigger applause. I'm just saying.
Well, you know, because I'm just the other guy.
You are the other guy, but I threw you a bone, put your name first. But anyway, yes, Dan Baker did that for us last week. I talked to him on the phone. He's going through some medical stuff, as we said, but even though he was in the emergency room over the weekend, he's back behind the mic. He was there last night. I'm assuming he's there tonight. He says he hopes he doesn't miss another game ever, so we hope that's the case. And we also hope that he will be in fine shape to join us next week on Thursday, Bill. Thursday next week, don't forget, May 9th. We will have Dan Baker joining us live, if all goes well. Also on the show next week, probably not live because there will likely be a Game 6 at the Wells Fargo Center. We are going to talk to a first-time guest, and I'm pretty excited about this. If there's a Game 6, she'll be on tape. If there's not a Game 6, if the series is over one way or the other, Crystal Rich from Sixers Outsiders will be joining us next week.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. That'll be good.
Crystal Rich. Thursday night next week, guys.
Yeah, Thursday night. We'll be sure we hit that up in our closing, and we'll also be advertising out that we got some personal things going on. Had to just shift up for the week.
Yep. Yes, sir.
All right. Chet, anything else that you have before you hit your parting shot?
You know, I had some notes here, and now I can't find them. Let's see. The Philly Jewish Sports Hall of Fame induction ceremonies were last night. Howie Roseman among the honorees. My buddy Scott is involved with that, so he got to meet Howie and all the other inductees last night, so that's pretty cool. Did you know, Bill, the Arena Football League expanded? They were down to four teams last year, the Philly Soul and three other teams. Now they have two new teams, one in Columbus. And I just found out when I was flipping the channels Sunday night, they have another new team in Atlantic City. I had no idea. The Atlantic City Blackjacks were playing the Soul on Sunday night. So who knew? Did you know that?
I saw it. I saw it on the TV listings myself Sunday, and I didn't know.
I was flipping the channels. I said, what the heck is this football? And wait, the Arena League started. No, wait, that's the Soul, but who's this AC? And, it was the Atlantic City Blackjacks. So I wish them luck.
Hey, Chet, something I wanted to tell you, too, since we have a minute. You mentioned last week about the Masters in the green jacket.
Yeah.
And you followed that up with a little information on your post that you made on that. I talked to my buddy Taylor Zarzer. If you remember, we talked about Taylor a while back. He works for the Golf Channel and does play-by-play football. That's how I know him from. So I talked to Taylor about the green jacket, and he said, you are absolutely correct. They can wear that all around the facility, but the only one that gets to take the jacket home is the winner for that year.
Right.
So when they come back next year, they must have a giant green jacket closet, and they can go get the jacket and wear it on the facility during the tournament, and then they turn it back in.
Yep. Pretty wild.
How about that? I didn't know they could go back and get the old ones. So it's not like there's a couple. There's a whole stack of them, you know, that belong to those guys that they keep them. They keep them there.
Yeah. That's a nice tradition, though, I guess. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure you're looking all that cool cruising around town in your green jacket otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
You think?
Probably not. Probably not.
Nah. All right. How about a parting shot for you, Mr. Chesko? Anything we missed?
Well, we covered a couple things we missed. I do have a parting shot. And one other thing that we missed, though, before that is the Fanatic had another birthday on Sunday. The guy never ages, but he has a birthday every year. And the Phillies are 30-11 on those Sundays where they celebrate the Fanatic's birthday. So they should celebrate the big green guy's birthday more often because they seem to win all the time.
Well, there you go. There you go. And by the way, Chet, one of the things I was going to throw in the crap we missed, I believe Saturday night is Jimmy Rollins night, is it not, at Citizens Bank Park?
I don't know. I know it was coming up at some point this spring. I didn't have the exact date, but you could be right. And Jimmy's doing a little broadcasting work, too, occasionally for the team, too. So good for J-Roll.
I was wondering if you would be at that game. I think there's a bobblehead associated with that, isn't there?
Yeah, no, at this point, the only game I have plans to go to later this year is a Ryan Howard night, whenever that is, July or August.
I got you. Hey, Chet, how about a rest in peace to sports legends John Havlicek and Gino Marchetti, who both passed away this week?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, Bill. Yeah, rest in peace to those guys. And that brings me to my parting shot, and you did not even know that. But that's exactly what I'm going to talk about right now. As a prelude, Bill, to my parting shot, I'm going to take you back to the 1965 NBA Eastern Conference Finals between the Sixers and Celtics, at Boston Garden. Here we go.
The Celtics are leading by 1 point. There are 5 seconds left. Greer is going to throw the ball in. Johnny?
Todd Greer is putting the ball in a play. He gets it out deep, and Havlicek steals it over to Sam Jones. Havlicek stole the ball. It's all over. It's all over. Johnny Havlicek stole the ball.
Johnny Most, the call on a memorable moment from the great Sixers-Celtics rivalry from days gone by, and my very first lasting memory from it. Number 17, John Havlicek, ended the Sixers season in harrowing fashion that spring, and he was a thorn in their side and all other opponents' sides for 16 years in the league, from the early 60s to the late 70s. Yeah, he was a Celtic, but he was also one of my all-time favorite non-Philly athletes from any sport. One of those guys who always gave 110%, was constantly in motion like an Energizer bunny, and a clutch player and a Hall of Famer who averaged 20.8 points over his long career. And, oh yeah, he had 8 NBA titles. John Havlicek died last week at the age of 79 after a battle with Parkinson's. Rest in peace, Hondo.
Yeah, what a player. What a player, no doubt about it. And he played for them, so it was hard to like him. But he certainly, for those that kind of sit back and look at the whole big picture and look for great players, John Havlicek was certainly one of them. Gino Marchetti, also one of them, Chet, with the Colts. Yeah. Unfortunately for us, a little bit before our time. I believe Gino was 92 when he passed the other day. Also known for Gino's Hamburgers in that Philadelphia, New Jersey area.
That is true. And you know what else we missed, Bill? Today is the birthday of a lady who's been in the news quite a bit lately, Miss Kate Smith. Here we go. Come on, Kate. There you go. Rest in peace, Kate. And one more time for the people who wanted to hear it, God bless America. Thank you, Kate.
There you go. All right, Chet, I think that's about wraps us up. Any final thoughts?
That's it. Wrap it up. We're out of here.
All right. We have reached the top of the hour, so let's thank our special guests tonight, Ray Dittinger, Kevin McClure, Fred Hugo, our sponsors, the Irish Rover Station House, Bob Sullivan's LakeYourAge.com, PPCC 118 Raz Room, and Dave LaVoy of Allstate Insurance in Westchester for their continued support of the show. For Jim Chesko, this is Bill Furman. We hope you enjoyed the show. We'll join Philly Press Box Radio Thursday, May 9th at 7 p.m. You can listen through our website, PhillyPressBoxRadio.com, on blogtalkradio.com/PhillyPressBoxRadio, or you can find our podcast on iTunes, TuneIn, and Spotify. Happy birthday to us. It's been a great 5 years. High hopes, Philadelphia sports fans.
I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves. I hope we pass the audition.